listen. This very Christmas morning, in a valley far away, they are singing. Christmas Day memorial service for those who lost their lives in your great Drakelofter pit disaster.
Croeso and welcome to Tales for Wales, the pod that never fails to mine for the gems of the past and to exploit the coal tip that is history for our own personal gain. I'm Jack, and as always, I'm joined by my lovable canary, Franco. And on today's episode, we're chatting about the Pit of Ghosts. But before we go grim, what have you been up to, mate?
Before we go grim, you're the commander in Quim, if you remember that.
Nice,
intro.
Nice.
For us, if it's any, just back to back.
Yeah, I say anyone who's listening to, like, binging these, that'll be very funny.
And
anyone
if who's not, it'll make no
go
sense
go back
whatsoever.
And listen to the last one, and then listen to this one again.
Yeah, I'm not too bad, mate. Before, let's just get the housekeeping done up front. Again, we don't know, we're recording this before the website's live, but we got the website and the merchandise out, so if you we'd very
we'll
much
appreciate
it. We'll
link to the website, we'll link to the merch. Go and enjoy both thoroughly.
And the merch is a great way of supporting us, keep the lights on whilst we're...
Yes.
And also you get something for it. So you can join the Patreon, which you get two free episodes a month.
You make it sound as if you join the Patreon, I mean, do you get something for it? Barely, you know, with our bloody couple of episodes a month.
I
love us
just realised, you do get something for it, don't you? I was going to say you don't get anything for it, but
you do.
You get two extra episodes a month, and then if you join the other tier, you get an episode dedicated to you. We do research on your hometown. Mm. We make a Mabinogion story against you. We have a lot of free bants going on.
What you think that's worth? What you think that's worth? That's between you and God. But but if you buy a T-shirt, you get a T-shirt. That
you get something
that's
physical.
Just commerce.
Yeah, that's just commerce. Yeah. I mean, if you really, if you're the intelligentsia, you join the Patreon because that's where all our sharp wit, our Commander and Quim style bants really.
Also, it's art is priceless. So if anything, you're getting really good bang for your buck on the Patreon.
Exactly.
Think about that.
Exactly.
Think about that.
And talking of that, should we give a shout out to a Patreon member?
Yes, we should. And this week's lucky member is Andrew Howell.
Oh, and you'd be howling mad not to join him. If you wouldn't be joining Andrew Howell, you'd be howling mad not to be with our boy Andy or Drewy himself.
I'm trying to think of something else for Howell. Howling.
Howell's Moving Castle, is that something?
That is something.
Wales
that's,
has castles.
That's a Studio Ghibli move. That Wales has castles. We found our connection. Howell's the department store that shut down in Cardiff a while back. That's
defunct.
Also Howell's something you has your name. Yeah, Andrew Howell, defunct. It's open store. Yeah.
Do you think Andrew goes by Andrew, Andy, or the enigmatic Drew? I like it when they go
Drew.
For Drew.
We piss off our friend Andy, don't we? If we call him Drew, he doesn't like that.
No, he doesn't like that, does he, Daddy?
But I'm assuming Howlsy, I reckon he loves Drew. Drew Howell, he says.
I reckon when he calls up radio stations, he goes, oh, what's your name? My name's Drew Peacock. And they read out Droopy Cock.
Very good, very good.
You sounded like
Butthead.
Or also Sideshow Bob when he stands on those rakes that hit him in the head.
Nice one, Drew.
Nice one, Droopy. We've got to give you that. Sorry, Droopy.
Nice one, Droopy Cock. We're great with giving people nicknames on this, aren't we?
Like,
so Andrew Howell now is Droopy Cock.
Yeah.
Who did we give? It was Jan, but what did we call him? It was
Jizyan.
That was that
I do think we have to...
Did we? we didn't give one to Kerry Heaton, did we? We just like waxed lyrical for a while right, about.
So, should we start giving picture members nicknames? Kerry
Kerry Heaton, Angel of Death, obviously.
Okay, Angel of Death, Kerry Heaton, the Angel of Death.
Well, you know, based on our like our 80s drama that we said she was involved with, she's like she creates her own work as a nurse, like contract killer by night.
That's Jana Banana.
Oh, sorry, Kerry. Yeah, no, that is Jana Banana. Sorry,
mind.
I know. It's just because I was I'm on the list of things, and Kerry Heaton came up. I apologize. I'm confusing our lovely Patreon's personalities. Forgive me, for I have sinned. Fair. Yeah, I have a bit.
Do you know, guess what I did this weekend? No, you have to guess. Stop going,
I was drinking. This weekend, what would you have done? You just said you didn't. You had a booze-free one.
And a booze-free weekend. Me and Em had a weekend fully together. At one stage, I said, "Oh, I'm going to go for a walk in the rain," and she was like, "Can I come?" I was like, "Yeah, go on then." So we didn't have a single second apart.
Walk in the rain. What's wrong with you? I know you're a rain lover. I love the shagger.
I absolutely love it.
Rain shagger.
You had merely adopted the rain. I was born into it.
Go on, I can't possibly think what you would be doing in the rain.
All right, I'm in a car, and there's a lot of other people around me. We pull up to a car park.
Oh, not like a...
Dogging?
I wasn't going to say. a drive-in theatre?
Well, a theatre in sorts, if by theatre you mean quite intense and a little bit scary. we did a car boot sale.
Oh, right. What, as in you sold stuff?
Yeah. We became absolute merchants down the car boot.
Thrifters.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
We're trying to sell the flat. Well, we're selling the flat, in the process of selling the flat. Mm. And we got loads and loads of shit we want to get rid of. So we thought, right, let's try and make a bit of money. And then anything we don't sell, we'll go straight to Oxfam. So we had fucking... so much stuff, man. I'll send you a photo now of this, like, once we were set up. But we had fucking boxes and boxes of a whole fucking rail of clothes.
Just trying to flog your shit to the...
for
pennies on the pound.
It is so intense down there, man, because people take it like a full-time... like profession. So, like, it was under IKEA. So, like, IKEA was, like, the roof. So if it's raining, you're fine. It's in the car park of IKEA.
Yeah.
And when you're in there, they said, get there for 9 and punters come at 10. I'm even using the lingo now. And so we got there at 9.
punters, it's an industry term. You wouldn't get it.
You wouldn't get it.
I'm just looking at your picture now. Jesus Christ. If Emma wasn't literally in that photo, I would think this was just a piss take.
Yeah, but the thing is, Emma's got like a really nice car, so it did look a bit mad, like having all of our stuff out. But it's mostly, so my mum gave me stuff to sell. Emma's mum gave us stuff to sell. Emma was selling all of her clothes. All of the shit crockery, like genuine shit, like a lamp we
used
had.
Candles.
Used got candles.
Like a box of, I'm assuming this box of like bubble wrap is wrapping the crock things in. Not like 2 for £1 on bubble wrap, 2 for £1. You can take whatever you want. Yeah. All right, 50p for you, darling. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Do you know what I did? I went into this like Alan, you know, an Alan Partridge where he goes to do a day in the supermarket. Yeah. I was going,
go safe now, my love.
Go safe now, my love. Do you need help with packing? Yeah. I was going like 2 for £1. Oh, it ain't what it used to be. Round. Like, all right. Oh, 2 pounds.
All right.
2 for £3 for you, darling. 2 for £2.
Last hour of the market now. Last hour of the market. All right. 50% off. 50% off everything.
But man, it was so, me and Em were a bit anxious just about doing it anyway, because we're not like salespeople or fucking like the people we got there were like fucking intense, man, like all a bit like fucking,
they just want a bargain, they don't care what they're buying, do they? Just want a fucking bargain.
When we parked up, I said get there for 9, people come at 10, so we got there at 9. We started unloading, this like man came up to me and went, do you have any electricals? I was like, no, he said, do you have any games? I was like, what? And he's like, you said any games? I was like, oh yeah, I am actually, I'm sending a bunch of games. And he was like, oh, I'll take them. How much? And I was like, oh, tenner for them all? He was like, yeah. And he did well. So I said, oh, I got like a Wii remote. And he was like, yeah, I'll buy them. And then he goes to sell them on his stand. And I was just like, we just wanted to like get rid of things. But like, I hadn't even put a bag down, right? And like, and there were so many, they just go through all your shit. Like, me and Emma were so like, it was bizarre. It was like, Also, Em's really attached to her clothes. She loves them, but she just wants to get rid of them because she wants to just get them out of the house. But she was kind of like crying with every sale because she loves things.
She was like, and these people were just rifling through with their grubby little mitts.
I was like, don't sell it, keep it. And she was like, no, I want to. But she also does love things. But they descended on us like seagulls. Before it was even over there, like, what have you got? What have you got?
Just, like, I can imagine you turning into, like, you know that film Labyrinth where she goes into the little, like, memory world and she's like got all her old shit and there's that little like goblin thing full of stuff going, oh, you need those, don't you? Oh, you need these, don't you? Oh, you need the candles, don't you? I can imagine you going like some poor old lady going like, oh, I don't know if I need all these clothes. Oh yeah, you need, gotta have these, you gotta have the candles. Oh, the PS5 games, you gotta have them, come on, you gotta take them.
But man, it was full on. We made like £100 and then we just took everything else to Oxfam and like fucking boxes of it and you got free hot dog from
giving back.
I mean, it just helps you out, then it just gets out of your house. But it was all stuff like just crockery and shit and like things we don't use and things my parents don't use. But it was so fucking like, people down there, they should make like a BBC3 sitcom mockumentary about people who live at car boot sales and who take it fully.
Yeah,
like they come around afterwards, all the people come to talk to us who work on the other stalls and they were like, first one, is it? Oh, well, you got your stripes and all this stuff. It's like, shut up, I'm just here.
And I will never see you again.
And they were all just, they were lovely, but just a bit fucking, you know, like they're having a go at, like, you know.
Well, that's their, like, that's their full, that's their nine, that's their 9 to 5.
Yeah. Like, well, they kept saying that people from, like, lots of people from, like, African countries who have lots of market culture do a lot more haggling. So, like, you know, people who in countries where markets and haggling is a much bigger thing than it is here, they go to these places to like properly haggle. And with us, they'd come over, they say, how much is that? I just said everything's 50p. I was like, 50p. And they're like, all right, 25p. I was like, yeah, fuck it, fine, whatever. And just like, just giving shit.
That's insane though, isn't it? Imagine going like, 25. It's 50p. Yeah. I have to get at least 50% one off guy, that, otherwise it's not worth my
one pay. Guy was like, I said, oh, how much is this? I went, £1. And he went, can you do 50p? I went, yeah, fine. He went, I've only got £20. I was like, oh, fuck off. I was like, but you get a free hot dog from IKEA, which is a bit...
Well, that was worth the price of admission.
I went up there and it was hell trying to get the hot dog. It was like so busy. God. But also the money you pay, like it's all for a charity. You pay like a certain amount to be there, but all that goes to the Noah's Ark Foundation. Mm. So I guess that's something. But man, it was fucking.
You're basically a man of the people now.
I'm kind of Jesus in a way.
I was going to say, you're such a philanthropist.
You sound so bitterly disgusted with me, by the way, about all this.
No, I, you know, it's bringing me back. I used to go to car boot sales. My granddad used to take me to car boot sales all the time
as well.
And he used to go and find up the nearest like kiosk that was selling a pint and be like, you go off on your own now and meet you back here at like, I don't know, 4 hours or something, you know? And then.
Yeah, I did give a little. This little kid who was like going around with them, like he had loads of siblings. I just gave her some free stuff. I was like, yeah, take this. Because it was just like, I remember being that person as well. I've been dragged around. You can't afford anything. So you just get some little bits and bobs.
Well, that was the thing. Me and my brother used to get from my granddad £2 pocket money every week. We used to see him, right? So we go to this car boot sale with £2. And I know, like, you are not generous. Not a lot of them were generous benefactors like you that would go, like, 50p, 25p. Yeah, fine. So a lot of stuff. You couldn't afford anything for fucking £2.
No.
So we would just go around and go, you know, like that meme where it goes, looks nice. Wish I could afford it.
Yeah.
But it was fun. No, man. I'm not disgusted, mate. It's just bringing me back. That's all. I just wonder what the state of the market industry is these days. I can't imagine the
well, that's you hear a lot of this saying, oh, you know, everyone just sells it online now. I was like, yes, because you don't have to fucking sit here in the cold and the rain.
It's fucking easier,
like, don't have a go at things being good. So, but it was, I don't know, it was an experience to say the least.
Am I in like a few months' time? I'm going to hear more like, oh, we did another one, you know, just for a laugh. And then suddenly be like, honestly, the bargains we've had, mate, you wouldn't believe. It's like stealing money. It's so good.
But it was quite an experience. I'll tell you about this as well in work the other day. There's this lady who has like a dog that's really got bad behavioral issues and it hates guys. Mm. And And she always brings it into the office, and people get a bit stressed at being in the office because it barks and like goes really annoyed at people.
I feel like you shouldn't bring your dog in.
Yeah, I reckon that's everyone's with first
one
thought.
Gender. Yeah,
and but now it doesn't even like women, so it's like it's a really really touchy dog. It's a lovely dog. But
it's just become hateful all over. Yeah. Now. Yeah.
And she took it to like a dog psychologist, and the lady was like, "Oh, it sees humans as giant spiders, so it barks at them because it's scared." But you think, oh, that's so sad. But really, it just goes up to you whilst you're trying to make a sandwich. Go,
how on earth, like, kind of dog psychologist? I get that maybe you've got like a behavioral like specialist, but yeah. How you go, it thinks you're a big spider. What the does a dog know? The no. Well, so stupid.
She came around. The dog came around. So I'm a couple of desks away, and the dog came around to me, and she's sniffing my coat over my bag because, like, I think she could smell Bo. And then she started, like, growling at me. And I was like, what the fuck do I do here? Like, it's come into my area. I didn't really know what to do. And then my friend said, oh, just don't look at it in the eyes. I was like, I thought she was laughing. And then my friend was, like, looking away. And then I came around and I started speaking to the lady who owns the dog, who's super lovely. But she was like, yeah. But just don't look at her in the eye. Just don't look at the dog in the eye. So I was, like, looking around.
She's bringing the bloody office.
And then we were chatting for a bit and this dog growling. So I looked down at it growling and she went, don't look at it in the eye. It's like, listen, you can't.
As if it was going to jump up and go straight for your jugular.
She kind of got annoyed at me for looking at the dog. And I was like, the dog just barked. And I looked down. I'm allowed to be reactive if something barks at you to look at it. And I just like, this
is
a bit
mad. Do you know how many dogs I look in the eye and nothing bad happens? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's your dog has got the issue. It's not me. I'm not a dog starer that triggers every dog I see.
I do feel bad for it because obviously like, the dog's not massively happy and the lady who owns the dog is really sad because she loves the dog to bits. But I just like, maybe don't. Don't make me feel bad for looking at dog in the eye.
Just get the issue sorted. You can train dogs. Just fucking take it to a specialist and get that sorted. And don't take it to that fucking dog psychologist on about taking it to spiders.
She is taking it to like that stuff, but it's just like, I don't know, man.
I think, and also when you said that it just came up to you,
if your
dog is like, oh, it hates men, oh, really, and women, and if you look it in the eye, it's going to go fucking psycho. Maybe keep it on a leash. Hang on, one, don't take it into the office, and two, if you do, put it on a leash.
Yeah.
Put it on a leash. Don't just like going, this guy hates every living creature apart from me. Off you go.
Yeah, so it was just, I don't know. I don't want to be too harsh or too sly because I get it. You love your dogs like your children, don't you?
But of course, yeah.
Just don't bring your children to work.
Yeah, exactly. Sprang into my mind the other day. It was when we were, I was re-listening to our Beer in Wales episode, the history of alcohol in Wales episode the other day when I was, so I was setting it up, putting it on RSS and everything. And I was like, oh, I'll listen through it. And, we were on about, we used to go to our mate Gez's shed. We used to drink beer when we were like, 15?
Yeah.
Something like that. And for those who hadn't heard that episode, basically our mate Gez's parents, they were one of those like when, if you're going to get smashed blackout drunk, I'd rather you do it in the house, okay? Rather than on the street. But then they were also like, don't be in the house, be in the shed. The garage. I remember like being so cold in that fucking garage.
Freezing.
You basically were drinking to keep warm by the end.
Yeah.
But I remember one of the first times I went there, and it was maybe one of my first like, big sessions where I remember like people being really like actually drunk, you know, like a bit pissed as opposed to just having a little bit of a buzz, you know, because there was a time where we was like, oh, we'd have four cans and be like, oh God, we're such nutters when it was just like a little buzz. But yeah, I remember that one and fucking in the morning, I remember Kez's mum was fuming because someone, and I don't remember to this day who, in a garden had ripped up all the plants and trees the garden, just ripped them out of the ground. Yeah. And I think Gez said it was him, but I don't know if he was just like falling on the sword for the rest. Just like, I'm Spartacus, you know, I'm the tree puller.
I can assume if Geth was there, it was Geth.
Geth was there, I remember.
And then, in that case, it was Geth.
It probably was Geth then in that case. I remember because he was drinking some whiskey. And I remember he had a couple of swigs and someone went, oh, I heard you get really aggy on whiskey. And he went, what the fuck is it to you? And I was like, oh, that's like playing to type. I like it. Yeah.
You ain't lying.
Yeah, spot on. That tracks. Yeah. Good times, good times.
Shall I crack on with today's epi?
Let's do it. Yeah. So I did again. I took a swig as you were asking me. Go. Tell me the pit of ghosts.
Well, from one pit to another, from Gez's shed to a literal pit.
Very good. That's actually one of your better transitions. Yeah. That was very smooth.
I'm going to do. I'm going to cover the pit of ghosts. And I got some of this information from a website called Folklore Thursday, written by a guy called Mark Reese. And I can give more on him a bit later. But it's actually quite a tragic story that can really emphasize how awful it must have been working down the mines. And I've been thinking about that because my TikTok keeps showing me guys working in these mines. And I don't know if it's like maybe staged or not real, but it just looks fucking so intense. And like, because you know, sometimes like on TikTok, you get these like fake things that try and ask for a bit of charity, but they're actually not real. Not charity, but you know, like for you to send them gifts and stuff, but they end up being not real. But anyway, it just seems so claustrophobic and hideous.
We've only touched ever so slightly. I know we've touched on mining communities and stuff before, but like the actually going down and doing that work. Mm. Christ, what a fucking slog!
I know,
like
man.
Of a life, isn't it? Just to do that, like. Was it back then? It would have been like 6 days a week, maybe even seven. I don't know.
Yeah, well, it was. They had to fight for their seventh day, didn't they? One of the if I do get to move to Abergavenny, I'd be really close to Big Pit, and I want to take Emma there. So I think that'd be like a good thing to show.
You can go spelunking, and you
yeah,
go down there and start mining stuff out, get some ore, sell it at your car boot sale,
panhandling. but I was trying to figure out, I was trying to find an exact number on how many people have died in mines in Wales. But there wasn't like a definitive answer. But I went through quite a few different references, and most of the time it just says many thousands. But when you like get things like the Gresford or the Anghenydd disaster, those two together is 700 people death in just two disasters. And they were like multitude of disasters across South Wales and Wales in general. So that those numbers can quickly rack up. And today's story, though, is going to focus not only on the true story of a pit tragedy, but also the traditions of Welsh miners' superstitious outlooks. So I'm not going to go into the traditions because we do that on something else that we've been working on, which might come to light. So I don't want to spoil that, but I'm just going to cover, and that's a bit of a teaser. But this here is just looking at just the some aspects of their superstitious nature. Now, working in the mines during the 1800s was no easy job, and accidents and sadly deaths were really common. And with that came a real sense of acknowledging the mortality of man and considering what happens next post the final curtain. So this guy who I've read a lot of this from, Mark Rees, he shares an excerpt published first in 1894 that reflects the superstitious nature of Welsh miners. He says, besides the association of the presence of evil, of the evil one with mind, there's a shadowy belief, scarcely reduced to a proposition, that the spirit of anyone killed in a pit hovers round that spot at any rate until after the body is consigned to sacred earth. To this idea is doubtless due to custom of spending working in a pit when fatality accident happens. All the men engaged in that part of the work can come up for the mine and do not descend to the shaft until after the funeral. So if someone was to die in an area whilst you're working in, you're not going down there until they've laid him to rest in their sacred earth.
Because you think he's going to be spooky ghosts. Yeah.
He's going to come get you. And me and Jack separately looked into the superstition of miners, which we will redo as an episode. You will hear that from us in some form soon. But our story is looking at the colliery in Port Talbot called Morvar. And the whole area of Port Talbot's renowned for like mining and its steel and its tradition of hard work done by even harder men and boys. And one of the worst Welsh mining disasters of the Victorian era happened at Morvar in 1890 when 89 poor souls died following a catastrophic explosion. But that wasn't the first time this happened. In the same mine, four men died following a similar explosion back in 1958. And then 40 men died in another explosion. And then 29 died in 1870. So in 31 years, 162 people have died, which, considering how much smaller the population was and how close-knit these communities were, those numbers would be huge and have like a gut-wrenching effect on the families and communities they left.
So something tells me the old H&S wasn't exactly enforced back then, was it? Like, the health and safety was probably quite lax, I imagine.
But if you think of that, so 162 people, if you count every number, but then you add a wife, you add a child, you add children, you add parents, you had friends, like that number balloons up to being so devastating.
How many people affected, like, and like you said, they were very close-knit communities. I mean, still all of them are these days, are very close-knit, but you know everyone, all the miners would know each other, which means all the wives knew each other, which means all the friends and all
so it's no surprise that the coal mine became known as the Pit of Ghosts. And that wasn't totally uncommon for Welsh miners to have so many deaths. And it wasn't just bizarre that this one place had so many. This was quite commonplace throughout Wales. What makes Modifer Colliery stand out is the fact of a series of ghost sightings and unexplainable events that happened at the colliery before these disasters took place. Which mainly took place to be like otherworldly signs of danger to come. So people saw these sightings and unexplainable ghosts, they're like, right, this place isn't great.
Bad omens, yeah.
So much so that some even refused to work in the colliery following the appearance of strange sights and sounds. And due to that, they lived to tell the tale that they'd see sightings as these harbingers of impending doom. So again, I'm going to quote from Mark Rees, who gets this from a journalist from the time, who wrote 2 days after the 1890 disaster. He said, the journalist says, "Strange as it may appear, it is beyond a doubt that the belief has for a long time been entertained by the Modifer workmen that the pit was haunted. It has been said by reliable men that there were strange noises heard, like thunder in the distance and the slamming of air doors during the last week, and strange visions alleged to have been seen in the colliery. This was the talk of the neighbourhood previous to the sad occurrence and was a subject of conversation among the workmen before going in on Monday morning, several hours before the disaster took place. It further alleged 2 or 3 weeks ago several workmen left the pit because of these visions, which they regarded as presentiments of coming evil, and they went to work in Maesteg and other valleys. And then during an inquiry as to what happened during the explosion, there's an extract that says, one singular incident that related in the course of the inquiry some short time before the explosion, the men had asked for a thorough inspection of the mine. Several of the witnesses were questioned as to the reason of this request. The answer was that the men thought there were some spirits in the mine. Strange sounds have been heard, and it's believed that something would be seen at the bottom of the Cribbord vein. In short, an impression prevailed that the mine was haunted, and that an inspection would put the spirits to flight." So Mark, that's kind of saying, like, people at the time were like, sure something was going on, and they were like, they just
need some reassurance by the sound of things, didn't they? Something bad wasn't going to happen.
And they also thought there was something evil down there. And so much so that some people were like, no, we're actually going to go further afield. I'm going to go to Maesteg. I'm going to leave Port Albert. I'm going to go to the other valleys, because they were like so adamant. Mark Rees, the investigation found that ghostly ghouls and creepy happenings happened for years after as well. So much so that the Cambrian newspaper wrote in March 1896, Modifer Colliery has been infested with restless spirits for about a week. They are supposed to be 6 in number and to be the ghosts of some miners who were killed in the explosion. They make their presence known by wailing and knocking all over the underground workings. These divisions, it is said, they vary by singing of dirges and the roll of muffled drums. So Mark, like in his book and in his blog, he makes this really good point. He says, even if the ghosts or sightings weren't true, those who believed they saw them and then left to work elsewhere were certainly saved by these aberrations that warned them off Modifer Colliery. And Mark himself has written a book, it's quite called Ghosts of Wales, Accounts from the Victorian Archives. And if you're interested in this sort of thing, he's like a great person to check out. And that's it. It's quite a short story. There's not a huge amount other than just a lot of superstition.
No, but it's interesting that, like, even if you like you said, if you chalk it up to superstition and there was no ghosts and there was no, you know, it's no evil portents or anything like that, it's just in your own head, that was obviously, that has worked out, do you know what I mean, and that they didn't go back there and they survived another disaster type thing.
Listen
to your gut. Self-fulfilling prophecy. Maybe it's your gut, your subconscious telling you shouldn't be there. I imagine it's not natural for a human being to be down chipping away at ore veins in the mid, like a mile underground anyway, to be honest. So probably I can imagine my own subconscious saying, get out of here, but not because I saw ghosts, but just like, this is fucking shit, mate. I don't want to work down here.
It's been such hard. Like, yeah, they used to do 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, and Sunday and holidays were their only days off. And that was in the...
Fuck that, man.
Yeah, that was the 19th century.
Fuck that.
And so that's when this was. And then there was a three-day week. In, like, the 1974, there was that three-day week when there was, like, you know... Do you know about the three-day week? It was when they were trying to conserve electricity.
Yeah, it's the I'd stop the energy stuff, wouldn't it? Yeah.
But, yeah, so most coal miners would do 12 hours a day, 6 days a week. When would you go to the pub, man? I generally don't know when you'd go to the pub.
I think that's where the human rights are being encroached into. Yeah. Because when are you going to the pub? Because I'd be going, listen, mate, it's all well and good. You be working you might, me to death.
Probably drink whilst where working, am I gonna... wouldn't you?
Is it like back in medieval times where, like, you know, your blacksmiths and all that? Because water back in the medieval times wasn't necessarily the cleanest, it'd be safer to drink weak ale.
Well, that's
all
actually
day.
It's not medieval times. That there was the times of Benjamin Franklin and stuff like that. They used to call him the water man or something. Oh, he was the only one who didn't drink beer because everyone else would drink
Adam Sandler water boy.
Yeah, but so that's like what 17th 1800s that time. But like,
oh Christ,
was
that's
so
not
much
even
more...
yeah, that's not medieval times.
No,
yeah.
Medieval stuff. There was actually quite a lot of they didn't have the same ailments because they didn't have sugar. They didn't have like really unhealthy diets. They didn't have like the things that were introduced later in the centuries that did cause like
it was a bloody ball back then.
Yeah. No, but like health stuff, like we started getting a lot unhealthier when we introduced sugar and like all these like, you know, Celts weren't working down the mines for 12 hours a day, 6 days a week.
You sound like you're going to burst into like the, oh, there was no such thing as ADHD when I was a kid. There was no such thing as autism when I was a kid. We just got on with it.
We just got on with it. It was easier. But yeah, imagine.
I'm sure my life, my school life was absolutely shit and no one seemed to understand me, but there's no such thing as it.
Yeah. Yeah, so they would have been working 12 hours a day down there and having people around you die and fucking explosions. And imagine you said, where do you work? Oh, I work in the pit of ghosts. That seems reassuring. Yeah.
And also when you said, like, a load of my mates died in an explosion the other day. Oh, that sucks, man. At least it's only a one-off. Oh, no, they've been happening on and off for the last 30 years, to be honest. Right, maybe pop up to Merthyr instead of going back.
But even those other places, they're all like, you know, they were all much...
I suppose they were all the same. It probably happened quite a lot, didn't it? Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned earlier, we talk about, like, in a different thing, we talk about miners... traditions and sort of superstitions and things like that, but a lot of them are born because of disasters, and you realize, Christ, there's a lot of mining disasters in Wales. Obviously, statistically speaking, there's going to be because there's so many more mines in Wales back from the day. So many disasters.
I did read about the conditions of working under there. So we know there was like, it was dark, obviously completely dark, like no light at all. You'd get tallow candles made from animal fat. They were cheap, but they people, miners would have to buy their own, so they often wouldn't have them on because it cost you too much money.
You're paying through it yourself.
So you're working in the complete dark, completely cramped. Some of the underground roadways were as little as 60 centimetres to 120. So that's like 30 centimetre ruler. You know, like a ruler. Think of that times on itself or twice on itself. And loads of them had to like... Because miners didn't want to increase the cost by making them bigger, so they made these shafts fucking tiny. So loads of the time they'd use small children to push and pull the larger tuskets of like coal because they could fit down a bit easier. And the mines were also like incredibly hot and really wet, so they were hot, wet, and dusty.
That's the thing, you don't seem to like. I wouldn't think of a mine as being hot, you know?
No,
because you think it's underground, but it's. Yeah, it's all that compact. You're in a very cramped area, so like all that heat is just heating up the air you're in.
And then you had the dust as well, and there was no like really poor ventilation, so the dust stayed like in your lungs. And it was so hot, workers would often work with no clothes on, which is a bit you get your tally.
That's what happens in you've seen that your old tally whackers. You've seen that series Chernobyl, isn't it? You know,
yeah,
because they can't. They say they can't use fans in that because it'll blow radioactive dust around. So they all just, they're all there, like you said, with the tallywhackers out.
Get your tallywhacker out. So they also had water was always present in coal mines as it like some comes down from the rocks and gathers underneath in these reservoirs.
The groundwater.
So flooding was also a possibility and like a constant fear. And then there was also the fact there was also rats and mice down there because they'd like, they just got in. Generally, you know, people leaving food, all that stuff. So they'd like nip away and bite at the miners themselves. So it's just
like a fucking dream. Yeah, the thing is, at least, I bet they were probably really well paid and compensated for it. I'm sure that was the deal. Yeah, probably just paid an absolute tuppence for just the shittest working environment you can imagine.
They'd often, families would walk together to the pit. The son would go down, the husband would go down, the wife would be like either of them walking back and just doing the cleaning, cooking, and all that shit ready, or should they be doing some jobs down in the pit themselves. It just sounds fucking miserable. I don't know how people did it. I generally don't know how people put up with it. I get stressed when I get to a meeting.
Oh, Christ, yeah. Like if I've got like 3 meetings in a day, even for like half an hour each, I'm like, oh my God, could you ask any more of this physical vessel? You know, like you're pushing me beyond my limits. And then, of course, that's just nothing. Nothing. It's just me being.
We cover this on some of our other episodes, but they don't even go back to like, you know, you said they don't get paid anything. The houses are owned by the owners of the mines, so they have to pay the rent to live in these like one bedroom, no more than 2 bedroom for like larger families. So you live in like a 1 bedroom house that you're not even owning, you're renting from the fucking mine owner. It just sounds
saying in one of our other episodes as well that it was like, so they own essentially the mine, the people who own the mine
and the shop, like
the town
as well.
You live in, and they own the shop, and they don't pay, some of them didn't pay you in money. They paid you in like essentially tokens,
and they hate
tokens that could only be redeemed in their shops. So like if you want to eat and God forbid have a tin, you got to go down and spend over the odds of these fucking tokens. It's utter racket.
Well, that's the end of the old pit of ghosts. Could you, if you got this far, go drop us a review if you can, please, because they really help, and a written review helps us massively in the ratings. So I think most people do it on Spotify and you can't leave a written review, but if you have a different form, can you drop us a, like, you know, like iTunes or something, or iPod?
Yeah, if it lets you do it, give it to us. Even if it's like Die Down Boys, something like that.
Yes. Right, lovely. Dilcham Grandor. Love you lots.
Yeah, dear pal. See you later.